What's up, everybody? It's Owen. Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast. We got a chance to catch up this week with Miles Davis of LPMD. Miles is a childhood friend of Fansmanship. All three of us have known Miles and grew up with Miles, and he is now living in Los Angeles. We got a chance to talk to him about, I got a chance to talk to him about how it is to be a San Francisco sports fan in a place like Los Angeles. I got a chance to talk to him about developing LPMD, which is a project between him, he's the MD part of it, and Longinus Parsons, who is the drummer from Yellow Card. They have an album out called Off the Record, and I hope you enjoy my conversation with Miles Davis from LPMD. Enjoy, Fansmanship.com podcast.
What's going on, Miles?
What's up, Big O? How you doing, man? It's a pleasure to be on the podcast with you. You caught me at a great time in sports right now.
A great time in sports? I would beg to differ from a Dodger fan standpoint, but since you are the Giant fan extraordinaire, you can
yes,
blow it a little bit. The Giants about an hour and a half ago completed a three-game sweep of the Dodgers, during which the Dodgers didn't score a run. So. I was just online, and I was looking at all the Dodger blogs, and it seems that all the hatred is going towards Juan Uribe, and I contribute to that hatred myself.
This is going to water Dodger fans, man.
What did you say?
They're saying it's fucking with that team.
It's Uribe's fault, the former Giant.
You better blame the GM.
The GM, yeah. Coletti, also a former Giant.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
our issue. We're still eating the Zito contract, by the way, even though he's pitching great this year.
Yeah. Was that Coletti's fault, too, the Zito contract?
Yeah, I think that was his last hurrah, man. He signed him, and they got him out of there the next year. I could be mistaken, but I think that was, like, his last big one.
So Brian Sabian didn't have anything to do with the Zito contract?
No, Sabian didn't. Sabian's doing good. He's going young, man. More farm system. Like, I think three of our five pitchers or three or four of our pitchers are from our farm system.
Right, everybody but Zito, right, I think.
Yeah.
When you look at the Dodgers, they have a couple guys in their farm system, Scott Van Slyke being one of them, who they just need to get up in the majors and either have them play or not. I mean, at this point, anybody's got to be better than James Loney. I mean, right?
That's true, man.
I mean, at least the Giants got rid of Travis Ishikawa when he proved that he couldn't really be a big bopper first baseman. They traded him.
Yeah, well, I mean, if he stuck around for long enough, he had enough chances, man.
Loney's been around for a while. Yeah.
He's been around for a while, man. We got a couple of those guys. But, you know, we're hurting. We lost Cody Ross, and I don't like that. And we lost Beltran's having a pretty good year this year. I started off.
The Beltran and Melky Cabrera thing have really been. The Melky Cabrera thing has really been a godsend for you guys, I'll say that.
Contract year, buddy. Contract year.
we can get more into the Dodgers in a little bit, but I want to ask you, of course, on our earlier podcast, we've definitely used some LPMD and Miles Davis tracks for our bumper music, and I kind of want to know what you've been up to a little while ago. I don't know, a number of months ago, or maybe, I don't think it's been a year yet. You guys put out Off the Record, the first LPMD album. What have you been up to recently?
Well, right now we've been promoting Off the Record, which is kind of like my manager likes to call it a mixtape, but I hate that word, so I don't really call it a mixtape, but we have it out for free. It's on SoundCloud, LPMD SoundCloud. So we've been doing that. We've done two shows recently in Los Angeles, kind of trying to get our live performance our stage show out there, because what we do out there is unlike what anybody else does with the instruments and the multiple, musicians doing it. It's a two-man band, so we've been doing a lot of that. We're in process right now of writing our second album. We've tracked most of the drums. We got some of the percussion or the production done. I'm in the writing process right now, so there's a lot of writing, a lot of editing, a lot of mixing because, you know, I edit and mix everything myself. And it's a lot of rubble, man, but everything's moving. We're starting to gain some interest for some pretty good people out here in Los Angeles. And, you know, I think it's moving at a good pace, judging that we haven't been at it for, you know, any more than, what is it, 8 months or something like that.
Right.
So we're just doing music, you know. It's my passion. I've always done it, as you know. You know, I grew up in the music world, grew up in the symphonies and doing the violin and stuff like that. So I just kind of parlayed that into mixing it with my passion for the music that I like to listen to, which is hip hop. And we're just trying to do something different, make our own way and be our own group, be our own sound, and just have people respect that and love that rather than trying to duplicate or copy something else that's out there.
Yeah, I saw a lot of the information on your Facebook site, and it talks about you guys having a really unique sound. Talk about, more specifically, you alluded to it a second ago, talk about your own musical background and how your background on the violin and any other musical instruments kind of affects what you do today.
I think it definitely plays a role. The fact that I understand melodies and you know, I understand how symphonies are put together, but it's kind of a completely different genre. You know, I mean, mixing classical is one of those types of music that mixes in with everything, but it's really not the backbone. So it's kind of been an interesting transition for me when I actually sat down to start creating hip hop music, because my mind's not very simplistic, so I like a lot of melodies. I like a lot of instruments. I like a lot of blending, and that's what's kind of cool with Longinu, is because he's scatterbrained kind of like I am, and he enjoys lots of drums, and he's always into trying something new just to see what it sounds like. So, you know, the fact that, and he's from, like, jazz background, you know, grew up playing jazz. That's how he learned the drums. So when we kind of came together, we have so much more of a wider outlook on how music is, and I think it shows, you know. I mean, obviously we're going to go back to some of the drum and bass type stuff that hip hop is based around. But I think the classical music just influences me on my melodies and the instruments that I choose to use. You know, I love the sound of the synthesizer, but I use a lot of strings. I record live strings. We record live guitar. We record live drums. I record drums, you know. So we're kind of blending all these sounds. And this next album, I think, is going to really reflect that more so than the first one did.
Talk about your live show. I saw a couple of videos, and it looks like it looks like you were you had the violin up there during the live show. Is that something that that's easy for you? Is that something that is way different than when you played in the past? What is that like?
It's kind of all on the same level, man, to be honest. Like, I thought it would be different. I mean, obviously it's a little different going to that because I'm front and center. I'm the vocalist. I'm playing instruments. I'm on the drums for parts of the show. I'm on the keyboard for half the show. But past experiences, you know, it's kind of the same thing. You know, you got to block everything else out. You just got to block everything, you know. You got to just make sure that you don't let anybody else, what they might think about you, influence how you do it when you're up there, you know, because it's only you. People are going to say whatever they're going to say, but as long as you put out the show that you really want to, you know, that's the most important thing. And our live show is ridiculous. Like I said, it's kind of what's getting us more known around these parts. It's just because it's kind of rare where you see a drummer, you know, live drummer and a hip-hop artist, and they're playing over beats, and then all of a sudden the artist puts down the mic and he picks up the drums, and we do like a double drum off between me and Longinu, going back and forth crazy. And then all of a sudden Longinu, he's out from behind the drums, and he comes out because he's an amazing beatboxer as well. And a lot of people don't know that because he's been in, you know, an alternative group where he's just kind of on the drums in the back, you know. So do this, you know, he comes up to the front, he beatboxes for three songs, and then he goes back there, and then I jump on the violin for a song, you know. So it's like every single track is something different.
Sure.
And I think that's what makes our live show unique, and like, because it is hip-hop, but it's got a lot of musical influence. I mean, I don't think you'll ever see an artist or a rapper, and I don't like to refer myself to strictly as a rapper, but more of a musician, that, you know, I get up on stage and rock a violin without being scared that the world's going to be like, oh, look at this pussy. Oh, sorry, I'm not allowed to say that.
I'll edit it out if I need to. So I'm curious, and I've never heard the story from you, so I'm interested to hear. Longinus Parsons is obviously from the band Yellow Card. He's the drummer, pretty successful. How did you and he hook up originally?
Well, I was actually talking to my manager about this today. I wish I had a more unique and interesting story, but honestly, it was through like mutual friends. He was kind of looking to expand out, do a side project, because him and, you know, Yellow Card had broke up. Not broke up, but they had taken a hiatus for a couple years. And in the meantime, he was on tour with he did Adam Lambert's first tour. You know, he was the drummer on that. And, you know, if you ever heard Adam Lambert's music, and you knew Longinus, you know, Longinus was like a heavy metal type guy. Didn't really mesh. So he's always, and Longinus was always looking for new projects and stuff. And so he heard my music through a mutual friend, and he just liked it. He liked the vibe. You know, it wasn't anything like he's heard. It was kind of different, kind of darker, you know, because I have a kind of a darker sound to my music and stuff, and he really liked it. So he actually reached out to me and wanted to start making music. And so we met up at his apartment one day, and it just started. I think we did I Do It All off the record was the first song. We just sat down and both jumped on the keys. He jumped on his little electronic drum set, because at the time that's all we could, you know, that's all we had to use right there. We didn't have a whole studio set up like we do now.
So we just did that, man.
Honestly, like, Longinus was on the bottom half of the keys, and I was on the top half of the keys, and we just freestyled for like 3 minutes. I think we kept two and a half minutes of that first take as on that song. And if you listen to I Do It All, you'll hear what I'm talking about with the piano just kind of going crazy.
Disarray, I done called this a day. I've up and away. Celebrate life to the extreme. Got the great juice bottles chilling, Wayne Gretzky. Skate through life, make weight like a jet ski. Wake fake as long as the Lord lets me. So get up, get out, and get something. Minuscule trials and tribulations is nothing. As long as my blood's pumping, I'll be into something. Making my carriage out of a pumpkin. It's all about the letters, not the dressing. So if you ain't impressing, well, then you need to be. I did it illegally, then did it repeatedly. It really ain't a thing to me, cause I do it all. AM, I'm up, up, pull out my tree, I'm about to climb up, up, doesn't matter which one, Swisher's lined up, Tim Lincecum, till your hitters line up, you can't touch the kid, I'm untouchable, the fresh prince in a family of Huxtables, the fresh fish in a store full of Lunchables, I do it all, happens so naturally, I'm comfortable, to grab the mic and throw a fit, like a baby with a diaper full of shit, and I admit that I have it, and if I don't, then I'll grab it, never been a wise man, never been a chump, never been a wise man, never been a drunk, always had my pride, never lose my focus, angels get my back till the whole world knows. I do it all. do it all, I do it all, Mr. Do it all, I do it all, I do it all, I do it all, Mr. Do it all, I do it all.
And 420.
You know, and so we vibed immediately, and since then it's just been like rehearsals, and you know, we're good friends too. We get along, you know, so it was a good situation. But yeah, just, you know, mutual friends, mutual interest, and we both wanted to do something to make some money.
Absolutely. Here with Miles Davis on the Fansmanship podcast. Miles is part of LPMD along with percussionist and all around performer Longinus Parsons as well. Miles, I saw on your website that you're also, I saw it said you're Emmy nominated. What was the nominated audio?
It was the news Emmys, and it was, I ran the audio department, so I had two people working under me, and basically what I took care of, it was for a documentary called The Kennedy Detail.
Okay.
And so I did the final mix, and I did all the sound design for the thing, and I basically ran the audio department. So what happened is, like, the whole documentary uses a lot of 50s and 60s footage from back in the day with zero sound. You know, it doesn't really have sound because they didn't have everything mic'd up back then. And you know, Discovery, it aired on Discovery. They really wanted it to seem authentic. So what I had to do, every single clip, I had to go in there, add environments, cars, people, but in a 1950s sound, you know?
Right.
So that's how I started off with that. And I did that, and then I went through and I mixed, you know, all the music and the dialogue, cleaned up the dialogue, did all that. So, and then it got nominated as one of five, but I think a documentary on Katrina ended up winning.
Got
nominated, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Congratulations on that. A couple of questions. I know that you're a Giants fan, and you have a lot of ties to the Bay Area as well. And you ended up down in L.A. Talk about being a Bay Area sports fan in general, and having to live in L.A. and in the L.A. area in the world. Now you are a Laker fan, Miles. I mean,
I'm a Laker fan forever. But it's because San Francisco doesn't have a basketball team, my friend.
but talk about living in Dodger World and living there when the Giants won their first. Their first world championship in San Francisco. What was that like for you? Were you rubbing it in everybody's face? I bet you were.
It was beautiful. Of course. And I've been out here for 7 years, and I've had some memorable experiences at Dodger Stadium for Dodger Giant games. One time, I sat out in the left field bleachers one time. I got 3,000 fans.
I could have told you not to do that, Miles. Come on.
God, that's the most attention I've ever received at one time. These guys were they wanted me dead, man, because I had my Giants hat at the bottom just looking up at them. Oh, but it was great. But no, you know, honestly, it's kind of cool because I'm such a diehard fan. I know the history. I know the history between the two teams. And to me, it's fun because I know how Dodger fans are, and I know the hatred there. So for me, to be here in a time period when the Giants won their first World Series was great. I wear the shirt probably once a week, just to remind everybody.
Well, and the thing is, the thing that always cracks me up about it, and knowing Dodger fans, is that some of them care, but the vast majority of Dodger fans, they have other things to worry about.
Get there in the third, leave in the seventh? Yeah, I know. I mean, I know the
truth. They act like they have... They have a lot of other things to worry about, apparently. I crack up thinking that, you know, that, you know, I picture you as a Giants fan out there and wanting to talk trash, but then maybe not being able to find anybody to talk trash to because they're like, yeah, you know, it doesn't really affect me. I live in L.A. I'm going to the beach tomorrow, whatever.
Right? Yeah, well, I mean, I definitely know. I know a couple, but you're right. The majority of the people that I'm around in my industry, they could care less, man.
Right.
You're right. But fortunately, my girlfriend's family is all Dodger fans, diehard Dodger fans. You know, go to the games, go to spring training. So that's always fun, man. I get to do it. I get to give it to them every once in a while. Today's a good day too. You know, coming back all the way to be tied for the West.
Yeah, that's pretty frustrating. I got to talk to you about that, and I got to kind of and for for those listening, Miles and I, you know, we're old friends. Not only, you know, when I say that's my boy, Miles and I grew up literally on the same street after school every day. You know, you're talking about me posting Miles up on the little mini hoop. You're talking about you're talking about wiffle ball, playing that, you know, it's a grand slam if it goes over Miles' house. It's a double if it's a double if it hits the balcony, okay? On the roof, the triple, okay? That's the rule. When we talk about it, Miles was actually, and you probably are aware of this, you know, growing up as a Dodger fan, at least in San Luis Obispo County, for what I knew, I didn't know a ton of guys who were diehard Giants fans. And going up to Miles' house and hearing the radio on in his garage, it wasn't on Vin Scully. It was on KNBR.
always.
Miles' dad made sure that when he was working in the garage, KNBR was on, and that the Giants game was on. So it was really my first experience with another family that wasn't, you know, that wasn't really a Dodger fan. And it was kind of a mind blower, to tell you the truth. It was like, okay, all right, they're Giants fans. And I tell the story that I didn't ever really have like hatred towards the Giants or towards Giants fans until I got to college and lived around a bunch of guys who were from San Francisco. Because in San Luis Obispo, you could have a Dodger fan and a Giant fan, you know, be, you know, really good friends growing up, and that was just fine.
The middle ground.
What's that?
I said it's the middle grounds.
It's the middle grounds. I don't know if you saw the piece I wrote on, you know, it's kind of the DMV.
I did.
When the Giants won the World Series, the trophy was down at Farmer's Market in San Luis Obispo. And all the, you know, all the Cal Poly kids who are from the Bay Area were there, and you know, all the bandwagon Giants fans, and then some who, you know, were legit Giants fans. But some guy came up to me. I had my Dodger hat on because that's how I roll. And this guy came up to me. He goes, "Dude, you're gonna get shot." I was like, "Dude, I'm in San Luis Obispo. Come on now.
Yeah.
Take your step back a little bit. Come on."
Oh yeah. That's.
Which is, you know, it is hilarious.
Go south. It's all my family, all my friends, all my friends, all my brothers, all my brothers. In Japan, India, New Orleans, you know. And life seems like it's got you down. I know it's got you down. Just float on.
It's the middle of the night and I'm still up, contemplating, wondering if I should give up. Life's getting heavy, hard for me to lift up. Stress hit me out, it's hard to keep my head up. But I ain't giving in today. There's gotta be a better way. Gotta be a better way to play the game before we replace us the same. I know this getaway, let gravity decay and float on my friend. Extraterrestrial beings, cause sometimes his life is like messing with me. Paychecks are spent before getting to me. A student of life, but these lessons ain't free. I need a moment of clarity, no matter where it be. Come and share with me, musical therapy. Use it to carry me, don't care what they telling me. My weightless remedy. I'm just trying to give you something you can ride to. Something that reminds you of things that inspire you. Just a knot at the end of the rope you're trying to hold on. Hopefully the song help you float on. Then float past all the things that's irrelevant. Go have a good time just for the hell of it. Drink one, smoke two, stay positive like a proton, no pride. Float on my friend. I could really use a day off. Good thing I got laid off. Back stuck in the same spot. Now I'm looking for a way out. Sick of waiting for the payoff. But for now I'm about to take off.
I got my space boots on, shooting for the moon. Target been locked, hope I get there soon. Detours, roadblocks, speed bumps, got my knees up, but this life won't ease up. I need to re-up, hey Mona Lisa, could you keep an eye on your boy when they checking my visa? Make sure I get through, make sure I'm good. A message to the misunderstood. Float on my friend.
Dodgers Angels. Have you been to an Angels game since you've been in L.A.?
Not since I've been in L.A., but I have. Shit.
That thing is kind of funny and kind of weird, dude. The Big A is kind of a, I don't know.
You don't like it? You don't like Disneyland?
The music played a little bit too loud for me, and the stadium's not really set up to be, because it's not, you know, at its bones, it's not a baseball stadium still. And so it's like, it's got some weird quirks as far as how you sit and where you sit. Nobody's really paying attention to the game. They're more paying attention to each other and people watching. I don't know. It wasn't really good for me.
It's been like 10 years, seriously, since I've been to Angel Stadium.
Since they put in the rock pile out there in the
Yeah, I've been there since then. I've definitely been there since then, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So
yeah. You should fireworks and all that crap, all the fireworks and stuff.
Yeah, that's what Luke said, because Luke's an Angels fan, you know, so he said that.
Yeah, that's right, man.
But he wore his Wally Joyner jersey, so, you know, you got to give props to Wally Joyner.
I love it.
And,
I love it.
Wally Joyner was the poor man's Will Clark, I always felt like.
Yeah, exactly. Someone had to do it.
And your left-handed swing was quite a little Will Clark swing. We were actually talking on the way down, and for those of you who may not know, I would think, and I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but a lot of Miles' love for the game of baseball I would venture to guess comes from his dad. All three of us, Andy, Luke, and myself, had all been coached at one point or another by your dad, and it came up just, you know, because I told him that you were going to be on the podcast. It came up how great of a coach your dad really is, as far as a baseball coach, and how we each had like a Lauren story as far as coaching or learning how to hit or
interact. I got plenty of those.
and uh, And I'm sure it's different when it's, you know, when it's your dad is the one doing it. But it's certainly it was something that I thought I'd communicate with you and that I wanted to let you know. Tell me this, as you've been learning new instruments in your in LPMD, I don't remember you being a drummer. I don't remember you being a guy who plays the keyboard. How long has that been going on?
I'd say about 5 years. I've been playing the drums for about 2 months, honestly.
So you did that for the show?
Honestly, like I picked it up probably 2 weeks before our first performance. I jumped on there, maybe even a week. And, you know, I just wanted to see what it would be like. And I've always had, you know, music in my blood and in my brain. So rhythm is not really difficult for me. You know, I can keep rhythm and do stuff like that. And, like, we did the first take and it just came out, you know, it just sounded like nothing else has ever sounded that we've done. So we just kept it and we've been expanding on it, trying new things with it. And the keyboard is just, you know, keyboard is just something I do, basically, to, you know, I'm not like the most talented pianist in the world, you know, but I know how to read music and I've been practicing more and more lately, you know, trying to get that up. But I've been playing the keyboard for about 5 years, but the drums just a couple months.
Got it.
Just for show. It's the show. Oh, it's the show, man. It's all about the show. It's all about dazzling.
Yeah, I saw some of the YouTube clips, and for anybody who doesn't know, Miles, can you give them like a link for where to see the Float On video? Because that's one of my favorites.
You can check the website, lpmdmusic.com.
Okay, and there's a link from there.
We have all our Facebook stuff. It's Facebook/LPMDFan. And you can catch all the links there. We're in the process of editing up some... just putting together some footage of the second show to put up there, you know. So we're gonna keep. We got a nice little budget coming, hopefully for this second round, you know, the second album. So hopefully there's gonna be more videos coming out, you know, more quality work, and just trying to keep everything on a professional level, you know. And so check out lpmdmusic.com and drop us a line or a post and ask me a question. Tell me if.
Yeah, the music's definitely.
I'm always open for new thoughts. I love learning stuff. I love talking to people. I love knowledge. So
the music's really great. I wanted to give you props too. The music video for Float On features a pretty futuristic astronaut, or maybe a non-futuristic astronaut. I've watched that video a number of times, and every time I watch it, I think the astronaut's maybe a different person.
Yeah,
it's kind of hard to tell who's breaking it down, really, because it's kind of a funky astronaut at one point. Is the secret of who the astronaut is a secret? Is it a closely guarded secret?
The astronaut is you. It's everybody. It's a metaphor. No, I just made that up. I'm kidding.
That's pretty good. No, I mean that's really you know, if you were gonna talk about that video like that, then certainly, you know, that's the character of the astronaut.
That's the metaphorical character, the ambiguous, you know, the everybody character kind of. But actually, the person that's actually in the suit is she was helping with the video. She works with the director of the video, and she's a dancer, and it's actually a female in there. And she wore the suit, she broke it down, and she, you know, she's a very experienced dancer, you know, so she put some good moves on in there, and yeah, I was real happy with how that came out, man. It was a great video.
That came out great. Hey, one question. Obviously, fansmanship.com is San Luis Obispo based. It's where you grew up in San Luis Obispo County, in Cayucas, what?
Thank you. Yeah, the first time you said it, man, you got to say Cayucas.
Yeah, I got to say Cayucas. Yeah, you got to say
San Luis is cool. Cayucas.
Cayucas is better. Come to the 4th of July or don't, whatever you want to do. I'm actually going to – I haven't been to the 4th in Cayucas in probably like 5 or 6 years. I'm going to take the day off on Wednesday and head up there.
Are you going to go?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm going
to. I haven't been in so long. All I know is that my dad complains more and more about it each year as he goes. Yeah, this one was he's complaining about the kids and the candy. And he... that me up, man. That's funny.
Do you find that? I mean, obviously, you live in LA. You have roots there now. You've lived in the Bay Area. You know, up in the Sacramento area for a while. Do you find that that having roots in San Luis Obispo makes it more difficult to break in as far as the type of music that you're trying to create, or is it something that at this point in time it kind of doesn't matter as long as the product is what it is, or is it something that you really just don't worry about?
Well, it has to be something I don't worry about, honestly.
Right.
You know, or else my product wouldn't, it wouldn't be 100% true if I was worrying about what people thought because of that, you know. So it's the farthest thing from my mind. Yeah, I mean, it is, but it, honestly, it doesn't matter where you're from. It's even harder. I mean, I'm half white, half Asian rapper. You know, that's probably the bigger one to cross than where I'm from, or, you know, or what happened earlier in my lifetime is, you know, just getting people to actually take you seriously, you know. It is, you know, I don't care how you cut it. You could try to be politically correct, but I'm a white rapper. You know, you kind of got to be an exceptional and original white rapper to get out there and be known. And that's why we are not trying to duplicate anything. You will never see me rap like Eminem, even though he's one of my favorites of all time. I will never rap like them. I won't make music like them. And not because I don't like it or I don't think people should. It's just because that's not me. That's not what's inside me. I don't shape it for anybody. I don't listen, you know, the only people I really listen to input from are the people that I know. You know, I'll take criticism and I'll learn from it, but you know, I really try to keep it centered because, you know, you can't please everybody, and I'm not about to start trying to.
Sure.
That's my mindset these days, if you haven't noticed. It's you know, one-track minded, you know, just staying focused on what I want to do personally, staying focused on my goal. Staying focused to what I think is right. And if you listen to my albums, you know, I'm not talking about, you know, South Central Los Angeles. I'm not talking about gangbanging. I talk about drugs, yes, sometimes, because I like to indulge sometimes. But, you know, I mean, I'm not talking about that stuff. My songs are really personal. It's real. It's about hard work. It's about the struggle that everybody goes through, you know, when you haven't had it handed to you. You know, I never had it tough, but I never had a lot. You know that. You know, we were riding around with, you know, money everywhere and getting everything we want. You know, we played on rope swings and run down basketball hoops our whole life, you know. So it really is a struggle trying to invest in yourself and at a point and really try to do it and just do it for yourself, you know.
How much would you say getting dunked on by me helped you? helped you know how to...
Well, I mean, cool.
On the five foot eight hoop, at the age of 12.
I definitely remember that. And it definitely helped, man. It was disheartening when you used to be me and say, Sato, you know, we'd be ganging up on you, found you, and you're like, man, you were so big back then. I was barely 5'2".
Yeah,
four.
You and Cesar weren't real big, and I'm a year older than you too, so I was bigger and stronger at that point, and so...
I have
two little guys, you know, hanging on me and still manage to get up there sometimes. I always say that, you know, as far as basketball, you know, I could always post you up, but when it came to wiffle ball or baseball, you know, you could bat left-handed and beat me most of the time. So
you definitely got me in basketball. That is true.
You always got me back in the baseball department. Right on, dude. Well, listen, Miles, really great to catch up with you. Really great to talk. And we'll have to do it more, especially if the Dodgers.
Yeah, definitely. You never even mentioned the Niners.
That's right. You're it. So let's talk Niners since this is a podcast and we have as much time as we damn well want. Let's talk about the 49ers. Talk about Harbaugh and his influence. What's your take on where they're at right now?
I love where they're at right now. I love Harbaugh for obvious reasons. My one concern with the upcoming season is the the acquirement of Manningham and Randy Moss, not because I don't think they're great receivers, but because I'm hoping Alex Smith doesn't think he has to prove something now and throw, you know, more than the 16 touchdowns he did last year. You know, just try to he's got a little bit more out there, you know, and people are expecting a little bit more of him. But I'm pumped with the defense is staying the same. Alden Smith, I think, is going to be the defensive player of the year next year. And, you know, other than that, with Michael James, I'm kind of interested to see if they're going to throw him in there or what they're going to do with him because he's such a unique player. So, man, I'm excited. I haven't been this excited for football in a long time.
So I have a father-in-law who's a pretty stout 49ers fan. And and so my wife will be talking to him on a Sunday, and you know, she'll hear screams and yells from the back, you know, in the background. And I find, you know, the better a team like the Niners do, the more passionate the fans are. And I guess, you know, I'm the same way when it comes to a team like the Lakers. You know, the 49ers have a lot of rich history, and it's when I watch the Lakers, it's the same kind of thing. Talk to me about, you know, Alex Smith. I know that there was talk about Peyton Manning coming to the 49ers. Do you really think, I mean, you look at teams that win the Super Bowl, and almost to a T, those teams have a quarterback that is at least, I don't know, top third of the league, top 10 quarterbacks in the league. Alex Smith is clearly not in the top 10. So do you think you guys can pull off a Baltimore Ravens type year, like a Trent Dilfer? Or is that what you kind of have to go for? Or are you
exactly what you have to hope for. Definitely. I mean, Smith's been there 6 years. Granted, he had, five offensive coordinators or something. But, yeah. I mean, he's always been – he's getting better at his decision-making, which is what makes me happy and makes me think that he might be able to do it. Because he made some big plays last year, regardless of what you think. He made some good throws, but he made some horrible throws, too. You know, so I don't look at him as our franchise, you know, Super Bowl winning quarterback, but I do think that defense is good enough to pull the Ravens, and I honestly do. We were close this last year.
Yeah.
I think we would have won the Super Bowl and won that game.
Yeah, I feel like 49er fans are kind of in the same boat right now, and I'm.
We hate Alex Smith. Everybody hates Alex.
I'm gonna say this.
Sorry, Alex.
And I hope you don't take it in the wrong way, but I feel like 49er fans right now are a lot like maybe Laker fans were this year, where the 49ers have showed some promise and showed that they can be good, but that in reality, when you just look at the bottom line, and this is actually what I kind of like about analyzing football and what I hate about rooting for football. It's why I don't have, like, a strong football team allegiance. This idea that there are some very specific things and some specific, like, factors that you need to have in place if you're going to be a quality, like, championship football team. And there always are exceptions. The Giants World Series team was an exception for that with baseball. In a lot of ways. I mean, they had like five guys have career years during one season, and that's what happened.
Posey's a great pitch caller, man. If you notice, when he's catching this year, I haven't been catching as much. I know I'm straight on a tangent, but when he's behind the plate, pitchers, they did a little bit better. You know, they're comfortable. He's a great game caller, but go ahead.
He is a great game caller, but that team, you know, they were all pitching, and there's no reason they should have scored more than two runs in any game. And guys like Juan Uribe had career years. Guys like Pablo Sandoval, even
career series. I don't know about career years.
Well, that's
one day he hit like 240 or something.
A good series makes a career year for Juan Uribe.
God, you hate that guy. That's messed up, man.
I hate him so much. Oh my! In my heart, Miles.
I can tell. I can really tell.
I'm going to read you off some stats in a second, but I feel like this Niners team, if they're going to win it, it's going to have to be because, for instance, Alex Smith has a career year. Randy Moss does something that's not expected. Defensively, they don't get guys hurt. Since going back to Juan Uribe, since he came to the Dodgers at the beginning of last year, his batting average is, I did the math this afternoon, .207 with five home runs, with five home runs in a year and a half.
Oh, my goodness, that's so bad.
207, and I got to pimp a website out here. It's called emo1uribe.com. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's pretty incredible. It's the same picture of Juan Uribe with a super emo look on his face, and it has sweet Juan Uribe stats that are like anti-Chuck Norris stats, so it's worth taking a look at. So my point about the Niners, and I know we've gone off on a number of tangents here, is that fans of the Niners are talking about them as if they're, you know, one of the top maybe four teams in the league. I believe they're probably one of the top six or eight, but I think to break into that top four, either a lot of guys have to have career years or they have to have a quarterback who's going to be a top 10 quarterback. And I think that's the angst that 49er fans feel, and that's going to be
That's why we're all pulling for Peyton.
What's that?
That's why we're all pulling for Peyton.
Yeah.
At least I was. But you're right. You can't. It's tough to win without a good quarterback. Alex Smith is definitely not a Super Bowl winning quarterback, but I don't think we need to utilize him that much in that scheme. And I just pray that he makes that throw in the fourth quarter, man, in the NFC Championship or whatever. You know, that's all you can do with Alex Smith. I'm not going in with Super Bowl expectations, but I have Super Bowl hopes, you know.
Sure. And it's not out of the question.
Yeah, it's not out of the question. Definitely not out of the question. But you're right about the Alex Smith thing, and that's why, you know, at least I have, and all Niner fans I know have been saying it for so long, you know. But it comes down to where you got to get the best thing that's out there. And when Peyton left, there really wasn't anything else out there. And you didn't want to trade away half your team for the number three pick.
Right.
You know, for two pick to get RG3. So,
So do the Niners have an answer at running back for Frank Gore's declining skills?
I hope so, man. Cam Williams not bad, but he's not Frank Gore. I don't know. We'll see. Brandon Jacobs, you know.
That's right. They signed Jacobs, huh?
Well, hopefully he can take about 10 of those short yardage carries away from Gore, you know. Because Gore is great 5-6 yards first down every time. 5-6 yards first second down. Gore is good for that. So maybe if he only, you know, you take 6 carries away, he can last a little longer, you know. But that is a big question mark. But I think the Jacobs signing was good, man. I think he's a good physical player that we need. On the offensive side, because we got a bunch of bullies on the defensive side, but our offensive side is kind of weak.
Got it. Well, we got our Miles Davis 49er breakdown. You don't want me to ask you to break down the Stockton Ports or anybody else, do you?
No, I just, you know.
I just got through with you. Come on.
You know what we go through as a Niner fan. It's been rough.
It has been. And since the Rams moved, I've been rudderless and teamless, which actually makes watching the NFL all the more interesting. I really.
What's probably the only sport that does that for? Where you don't have a team? That's probably the only sport that gets better if you don't have a team.
Yeah, because you know you have 16 games and that's it during the year. And so if your team loses 4 in a row during the year, like literally your season hinges on every game. And that's why college football and NFL also, you know, have really been very popular over the last number of years and grown in popularity because of that idea that, you know, every game matters so much. But at the same time, it's got to be maddening if your team isn't in it. If they're out of the playoffs, it's like, okay, well, what happens next year for those 16 games that we're going to have next year?
Exactly.
Have you been to any Kings games since you've been in L.A.?
No, I have not. I've never been to a hockey game in my life.
I recommend it, sir.
I've heard good things. I'm going to have to do that. Well, you know,
Kings tickets are going to be expensive next year.
That's what I'm saying, but I'm an L.A. native now, so, I mean, bandwagon is part of my nature, man, so I'll be there. When they're good, I'm there.
You know, I always talk about Stanless fans as being real good fans because if we want to be a fan, if we want to go to a game, that means that we're driving 3.5 or 4 hours one
way. Oh, yeah. I make the drive once a year to San Francisco in a day. See a 12 o'clock Wednesday game with my dad.
There you go. I've never been up to Pac Bell.
No way.
Never been to a game there.
Really?
I've been to – I saw a game in Portland, Maine last night, but I've never been to – to Pactel Park.
Oh, my goodness. Well,
I've been to Jacobs Field. I've been to lots of stadiums, but not Pactel. Maybe I'll have to take some protection up there in the form of...
Oh, no, that's friends are great, man. We don't do that. We don't do that stuff. It's a comfortable experience to watch a game, not like when I go to Dodger Stadium.
It's definitely
not comfortable, but I definitely wear my hat and my shirt and jacket every time.
Have you been to a lot of games since the Brian Stowe incident?
I went to one this year. The Tuesday night game, when the Giants beat the Dodgers, the first series in L.A., and that was the most relaxing, non-confrontational visit I've ever had to that park. It was incredible.
Was it because of all the security, or was it because Dodger fans were just chilled, or what?
I think the Dodger fans might have just chilled out a little bit, man. I mean, there's definitely some extra security, but the amount of harassment was minimal.
Okay.
Because the Giants won, so there's a guy in the front row holding up his jersey and they're booing him. I mean, but that's expected.
Yeah, I mean, if you're
that's just fansmanship right there, man. But no, it definitely has gotten better. I will give it to them for that. You know, even though didn't somebody get like shot like 2 weeks after that, anyways, there in the parking lot.
You know, it's possible. I'm gonna neither confirm nor deny that accusation.
Oh my goodness!
It happened before, but I've never seen it. I don't know. It's not something it's not how I roll. So I don't try to get into gunfights in the parking lot. There's that. The only time I've actually been afraid has been at a Raiders Chargers game when I went in the bathroom and there were like Raider fan yelling at Charger fan. And you're stepping up to the urinal, and you're not focused on what's happening behind you, and you just pray that, nothing goes down, because you're at the mercy of everybody in there when you're doing your business there, and you'd hate to even best case scenario get like shoved into the urinal or something.
Yeah.
That's never
fun. Yeah. Don't get crossfire.
Right on, man. Well, listen, Miles, I really appreciate it, and we'll definitely do it again. We'll have to maybe have you in studio if you're up in San Luis Obispo sometime. And
definitely.
And,
yeah. Sure.
Good luck with the off the record and or is it on the record? Which one? Off or on?
Off
the record. Good luck with off the record and if you want to know more, you can go to lpmdmusic.com. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
lpmdmusic.com or search for LPMD on Facebook. We'll post some links from Fansmanship as well and from our Facebook page. And Miles, it's always fun.
Yes, sir. Thanks, L. Appreciate it, man.